I want to welcome you to Steadfast Hope. I'm Steve Lawson, joined as always by Kent Steinbach. We're coming to you from Herb's House, which is a coffee house in Dallas, Texas. And we have a great Bible devotion for you this morning. It's going to be short, but it's going to be sweet. It's going to be good. And so we're in 2 Peter 1, verse 8. And the title of this is Useful and Fruitful. Useful and Fruitful. And I want to read the verse first, which says, "And if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." Kent, one of the most important things in our Christian life is that we bear fruit. Jesus said, "You will know them by their fruit." And one of the evidences that we are a genuine believer in Christ is that there is fruit being produced in our lives. There's the fruit of attitude, and there's the fruit of actions. The fruit of attitude is the fruit of the Spirit, is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. And the fruit of actions is really steps in serving others and giving our life away for the cause of Christ to others. And so Peter addresses that here, that if we will grow in our sanctification, that we will be very useful and we will be very fruitful in the Christian life. So let's just look at this passage. It's, again, 2 Peter 1, verse 8. He says, "For if these qualities are yours..." Now, these qualities that he's referring to is what is listed in verses 5 through 7, moral excellence, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, love. That's what he's talking about. If these qualities are yours, if they're evident in your life, and then he adds, "and are increasing." So you're not being stagnant.
Wow, that's great.
There is spiritual growth that is taking place in your life. There is spiritual maturity that is being produced. And the evidence of that growth and maturity is what I just read in verses 5 through 7. He says, "They render you neither useless nor unfruitful." Now, this is what we call a double negative. Neither is negative. Useless is negative. And it's a powerful way to speak that actually affirms the positive. Two negatives equal one positive. So when he says they render you neither useless, what that means is you are very useful. Useful for the glory of God, useful for the kingdom of God, useful for the purposes of God. Let's just stop right there for a moment. That says that if we're not growing in our Christian faith, we are not useful to the Lord like we should be. There may be a smaller degree of usefulness to his kingdom, but God delights in using believers who are advancing in their Christian life, as opposed to those who are stagnant, to those who are even backslidden. So those who are increasing in these qualities are becoming very useful to the cause of Christ. Well, Kent, neither of us want to waste our time and waste our lives just going through the empty motions of putting our shoulder to the plow and serving the Lord. But if it's not really useful, what good is it? And so what it shows is our ministry must be accompanied by integrity of character and maturity in the Lord. I mean, those two must be married together. For my life to be effective, there must be growth in godliness. And then he adds, "nor unfruitful." And that, again, is a double negative, meaning you will be very fruitful as these qualities are being produced in your life. And being fruitful here refers to our service for the Lord, the investment of our life wherever it is that God has placed us, in home, in church, out in the world. And he adds at the end of this verse, in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is reminding us that fruitfulness and usefulness is really rooted and grounded in the true knowledge of Jesus Christ. And that refers to our personal relationship with the Lord. And when he says true knowledge, that's as opposed to just head knowledge. True knowledge is that which is down in the heart, which has really found a place which draws you into close fellowship and communion and relationship with the Lord. So it's got to be a heart knowledge, not just a head knowledge, if we are to be useful and fruitful in our Christian lives. So, Kent, this gives us more to talk about than what we even have time to talk about.
That's a lot. And Steve, I think about this. Obviously, I think about myself, but I think about we've been in churches a long time, and kind of the worst thing in a church, a person that's always arguing, that's always got a complaint, that's always a know-it-all, that's God's Gestapo, that follows you out, you know, follows you out to the car, this, why isn't this, why isn't that?
Yeah.
And they're just, it's just so disruptive.
Yeah.
And that's different, isn't it? I mean, you might explain the difference. You've got somebody that knows doctrine, they know theology, supposedly, but they're just a problem.
Yeah.
How does that square with what Peter's telling us here?
Oh, Kent, you just painted a picture. I've lived it, you've lived it, and I'm sure to some degree I've been a part of it myself.
Yeah, I have.
The difference between head knowledge and heart knowledge, it always has to start with head knowledge. There's no heart knowledge until there's first...
It can't get there.
Yeah, it can't get to the heart until it begins with the head. Mm-hmm. But if it only stays with the head, you really are armed with knowledge that you use to win arguments and to debate with other people and kind of a gotcha moment as they might misspeak something. And your desire is really just to win at the price or at the cost of someone else, win an intellectual debate.
Yeah.
And what Peter is saying and what you're saying is that this head knowledge has got to filter down into our heart and soul, mm-hmm. and have a transforming effect, mm-hmm. and have the effect of producing Christ-likeness in us, who was gentle and lowly in heart, Matthew 11:29 says. And so it's a caution to us that as we grow in sound doctrine and as we grow in theology, it's not really real until it makes us, conforms us more into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so this is a good reminder to someone like me who spends a lot of time studying the Bible, mm-hmm. and who spends a lot of time studying theology, that there needs to be a lot of study of myself, mm-hmm. as well, and for this to grip me.
Well, I was just thinking, Christianity's not lived in the clouds, is it? I mean, it's not lived up in an intellectual atmosphere. It's got to be down where we are.
Yeah, and it's not just lived in a classroom either.
Same thing.
Where you're just taking notes and expanding your body of knowledge is when you get up from that classroom or even that sermon and you go out into the world, and how you treat people and how you interact with people. Yeah. There can be a lag time. In putting that into practice.
And you know, I've always heard, and I agree with this, I think you do too, that really the most mature Christians are the most kind, loving, humble believers, aren't they?
Yeah.
I mean, it just seems to me that's how it plays out.
Yeah. Well, Kent, I do see that evident in your life. There needs to be more of that in my life.
I'm good at hiding it.
Yeah, well, I'm not good at hiding it.
Well,
I mean, I can. I have great need for this to be increasing
in
my own heart and soul, so that for the greater good, I can be more useful to the cause of Christ, so that I can be more fruitful for His kingdom.
Well, I mean, we all need this.
Yeah,
we must have this because it just doesn't do any good if we're not living it this way. And this is just me first.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and just to remind us, Kent, as we sign off, it's in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ.
I love that.
Isn't that good?
I love that.
So we've got to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is actually how 2 Peter concludes in 2 Peter 3:18. Mm-hmm. It says, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. So Peter just kind of puts his stamp at the end of this epistle to remind us of what he's saying here at the beginning. Yeah. Well, this has been a great devotion. At least it has been for me and what I need. And I trust it's been that way for you as well. I just want to thank you again for being a regular partner with us in Steadfast Hope. Thank you for joining us. And I look forward to the next time that we will be together as we try to encourage ourselves in our walk with the Lord. Every blessing to you in Christ.